Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracy, keeps a long word journal. And we're turning our attention again to Lebanon, but also Damascus and Sana'a, three battlefronts that Iran turned on and, to my knowledge, has not turned off, despite the apparent success in Gaza. I welcome Edmund Fitton Brown and Ahmed Sharara of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy immediately to Lebanon, because both Edmund and Ahmed report a significant KIA, but also the significance of the KIA is something sinister going on in Lebanon again. Nothing benevolent about this organization. Edmund, I want to begin with you because your wide experience, not only now with FDD, but heretofore, looking at Lebanon as an unsolved threat to the whole region. It's got the largest army in the area, to my knowledge. It has a government that is either supine or absent. UNIFIL is scheduled to leave in these next years. That was the UN attempt to control the threat of Lebanon. And despite the decap, there is talk of rearming. And you identify one particular man who was responsible for that rearming. Who was he and what was he up to? Good evening to you, Edmund.
Can I pass that to Ahmed, please? For I think he has followed this more closely, and I think he's going to be better able than me to give you the detail on this.
I take your guidance completely. Ahmed, who was he, and what did we learn about his conduct?
Sure. The Hezbollah operative that was killed last week, his name is Mohammed Raslan, and he was a member of the terrorist organization and he was seeking to rebuild Hezbollah's military infrastructure in southern Lebanon, in an area that is south of the Litani River, which under the ceasefire that was signed back in November 2024, the Lebanese state agreed that it will be demilitarized and that Hezbollah's weapons will be confiscated and Hezbollah's infrastructure will be removed from that area or dismantled by the Lebanese army. However, since then, and it's almost been a year, we've seen limited action from the Lebanese in terms of disarming Hezbollah. They keep making these excuses that they're still waiting for a political consensus on how to deal with Hezbollah's arms, negotiating with the Iran-backed organization, and stalling the progress of disarmament. And that's why we've been seeing a lot of Israeli action over the past few months, and also reports that Israel is seeking to restart its military campaign in Lebanon because the Lebanese state has not been doing enough. And we've seen multiple examples of Hezbollah operatives that have been killed over the past year that have been trying to rebuild Hezbollah's military infrastructure in southern Lebanon.
Bill, you have a question for either Edmund or Ahmed.
Yeah, Edmund, the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, or UNIFIL, is established in 1978. Its mandate is to monitor and the security situation now in southern Lebanon. How helpful has UNIFIL been in preventing Hezbollah in reestablishing its control in southern Lebanon? And do you think UNIFIL has a future going forward?
Yeah, Bill. So on UNIFIL, I would say that it has been a spectacular failure over a prolonged period. And if we're looking for culpability in terms of the disastrous situation that prevailed in Lebanon at the time of the Hamas attack on Israel on 7th October 2023, which, as you know, led the very next day to Hezbollah upping its game and attacking Israel across the border, led to the displacement of a huge number of Israeli citizens from the northern part of the country. You really have to look at UNIFIL and say that they had allowed that buildup of Hezbollah arms next to the Israeli border to take place. And they had become, they were behaving effectively like a tethered goat in southern Lebanon. They were afraid of Hezbollah. There were a few honourable exceptions where someone in UNIFIL would sort of blow the whistle and say that Hezbollah are behaving in a way that is completely inconsistent with the terms under which UNIFIL was supposed to be supervising. But they were often silenced within the UN because their report was considered to be inconvenient. So I think we have to say that UNIFIL, along with UNRWA on Palestine, have been two of the greatest UN failures of recent years. Now, since the Israelis took their unilateral action to curb Hezbollah activity in southern Lebanon, and that led to the ceasefire that we're now talking about and the one that some people are accusing Israel of breaking. But the reality is that Hezbollah has not fulfilled the terms of that ceasefire, and the Lebanese state has not stepped up to enforce the terms of that ceasefire. And UNIFIL, you know, it's still on the ground at the moment. It will be gone in a couple of years' time. And really, it's good riddance because it has not been useful. It's still not useful. The only value really in the area in terms of monitoring what is happening is the United States, which will call out any unacceptable activity by the Israelis, but has not done so.
Ahmed, in your reporting for FTD, you indicate that the president of Lebanon, Mr. Aoun, has said that the Lebanese army is fully carrying out its duty south of the Litani River to confront and disarm Hezbollah. Is there evidence of that, that they actually are taking on the Hezbollah gunmen?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've been waiting for evidence since November 2024 of at least a confiscation of one Hezbollah rifle. But the most we got is the Lebanese army confiscating weapons that were blown up by the IDF during the war, and as well as exploding or detonating unexploded ordnances in southern Lebanon. But in terms of going into Hezbollah warehouses and taking weapon shipments or weapon stockpiles, we have no evidence of that.
Edmund, is there a benign rationalization for Mr. Ayoun's remarks at odds with the facts?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, we should distinguish between the Lebanese state and Hezbollah here. I mean, Ahmed is exactly right that the Lebanese state has not stepped up. It hasn't done what it's supposed to do. Of course, it is difficult for them. And so they're sort of trying to gird themselves to do this. In the meantime, of course, they come under criticism because Israel is taking action that it feels it has to take in order to prevent Hezbollah from rebuilding in the south. So I think if you look at what Mr. Aoun said, it's probably more in the nature of trying to keep his critics off his back. I don't believe that there is any intention on the part of the Lebanese state to confront necessary Israeli enforcement action in South Lebanon.
Bill, you have a question for Edmund or Ahmed?
Yeah, Edmund, given that Hezbollah has significant participation in the Lebanese government and influence over it, isn't it fair to say that Hezbollah is part of the Lebanese government? That, like, wouldn't it take rooting out Hezbollah as a political party in order to resolve this conflict? It seems to me impossible that you're going to ask the government to disarm a militia that is part of the government.
Well, I mean, you make a very fair point, Bill, and the involvement of Hezbollah in the government has always been a problem since it began. The Lebanese Shia do not all support Hezbollah. Hezbollah alienated a lot of the Lebanese Shia because of its reckless attacks on Israel, which then brought down so much suffering on the Lebanese people when Israel was forced to retaliate and to invade. And even if there was more widespread Lebanese Shia support for Hezbollah, that still would not be a majority of the Lebanese people. The Lebanese Shia are the largest minority, the largest component of the Lebanese population, but they're not a majority of the population. So I think we can at some point look forward to a change in that composition of the Lebanese government. I think for now, we simply have to insist on the terms of the ceasefire, and we have to insist on Israel's right to enforce those terms whenever they see them being broken, and just not allow ourselves to be distracted by the kind of noises off that we're hearing from Hezbollah, from President Aoun, and from some Arab partners of Lebanon.
Bill Rajo, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracy, and his colleagues Edmund Vitton Brown and Ahmed Sharari. Too many battlefronts, too little time. We turn to what we know of Syria on the eve of a visit by the President of Syria to Washington, D.C. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.